I wasn't sure exactly what was supposed to happen this morning, and I knew I wanted to just leave some room. I didn't know who was going to come, what situations people were going to be coming from. And I was talking with a friend, and I was like, hey, would you just want to share something of what's on your heart? I'm going to invite David Tucker to come up. David lives up over by St. Michael's, and he was able to look out and see all the fires, including one that put his house into a level 3 evacuation. And he's a person with depth who knows the Lord. And I was like, whatever's on your heart, if you just want to say something, could you come say something and we'll just see where this all goes. So I don't know where this is going. He's going to share something. And then who knows? God's up to something, I'm sure.
All right, good morning, guys. Hopefully I can get through this a little bit. First of all, I know you guys all are affected in many ways. Whether personally or you know people, it's a fairly traumatic event out there. So for us, we live up on the prairie. Some of you guys know where we're at. We have a good view of the fire. And so for the big one that was out, I don't know, southwest, we could see that billowing and covering 5 Mile. And that was a big deal, and that's probably what most people experienced. For us up on the prairie, we're up a little higher, so we can see fire. We could see everything, you know. And we could see fire essentially across, just kind of on the other side of a bluff, and it was just billowing and just smoking. And we thought, okay, well, maybe that's going to get us, but the wind was blowing away. And so we waited, and that wasn't going to get us. It looked like we were safe from that one. And then down at the bottom of the hill, another fire started. So we were looking at flames and smoke everywhere. And as the fire burned, that's the one that actually really started to scare us, yeah, significantly. And so as it made its way up higher and higher, you know, we had family at our house, and they all left. But I felt like I just wanted to stay there so I could see. I felt like I had a good vantage, and I didn't want to leave that. But we watched as the fire crested up over the hill and came down on the other side, and we were just really watching if it crossed a certain road, because if it crossed that road, then it would have an uphill toward our house. And thank God that didn't happen. And then the fire on the other side, it kind of burned up and along the back of the ridge. I'm not very descriptive. If you're trying to follow it, there's flames and fire everywhere. And we were worried. My wife had everything she could find loaded up into our cars for when we would have to leave. And we were told to evacuate, but we could actually see what was going on. So we waited, and we waited, and we watched as the fire burned up the hill and over. And we were afraid the whole time. Tamla's, my wife, panicked. My daughter, there was moments of tears and fear. There's something about watching fire crest over a hill that might get to your place. I mean, I could hit a golf ball to where the fire was, you know, on a good day. And so it was something that was very real. And I remembered thinking, how is this happening? How did we all get here, you know, to where there's a big fire just ravaging, not just our community, but your communities as well, and not knowing what to do. So we didn't know if we should evacuate. We didn't know if we should, what we should do. So, but I wanted to stay, so we stayed, and we stayed a bit longer, and eventually we didn't evacuate. Still don't have power, but we didn't evacuate. So from our perspective, I think what Barry wanted was just to share a few thoughts about how that made us feel and maybe how that pertains to our Lord. And maybe a couple of stories I felt, because this wasn't planned. Barry told me, hey, David, will you come this morning? So if I'm rambling, that's why. That said, there's a couple of things that I think that as I was praying before I came up that I felt like God wanted me to share. And I suppose some of it is for our good. We're believers, at least most of us are going to be in the room. And so one of the things that I wanted to point out is that we need to look to God for the miraculous things. We can't look right now and look out and say, oh, look at all the tragedy. Why didn't God do something? Because that's the wrong response. So maybe my house got saved, and it did. but maybe you know somebody's house that didn't. Well, God wasn't aiming for their house and trying to avoid my house, right? God's a good God. I mean, we look at Ruth, I think it was last week. I mean, Naomi had a time, right? Husband died, kids died, daughter-in-law left her, went back to nothing. God was with her, and God's with us, and we need to remember that God is good. God loves us, that God cares so deeply about us. He didn't aim for your house or your family's house. Wind blows and wind is good. Fire's good. It's just not good when they meet together and run over neighborhoods, right? Okay, so God is good. When you're dealing with people out in the world and they think about who, you know, God and did God, you know, does God do that? No, God doesn't do these things. It's just wind and fire. And it goes where it goes, okay? But look for God in the miraculous, because it's remarkable what I was able to see driving around some of our neighborhood this morning, where there is burned out everything around lots of houses, and houses in the midst of that untouched. I think it's remarkable. So I would look to God for those miraculous things instead of saying, oh, look at how, you know, the fire burned over everything. God saved things. God actually did protect, okay? There's a story that, so up in our neighborhood, there's a house across the way. I found out later that guy's a believer, but he had goats in a big enclosure, maybe as big as the room in here, maybe a little bigger, right? Two goats, and literally the whole field that the goats were in were burned, and the goats couldn't get out, enclosed. And the goats are alive in there. How did the goats live through the fire burning through, right? You know, when it was burning here, they ran over there, and maybe when it was burning over here, they ran back over there. But you see, God saved the goats, right? There were some chickens. Sorry to bring this up. Chickens in the backyard. I can't confirm it, but pretty sure the chickens didn't make it. Did God target the chickens and not the goats? That didn't happen that way, right? So we can rest assured that God is good, that he loves us, and we can look to him for community. That's the other point I want to make. We can look to him and say he's good. The other thing is community. So in our neighborhood, it's a little bit more, I mean, it's not fully rural, but it's rural-ish. And we saw a guy with a big bulldozer over on over on a flat property, kind of down a road and up on the other side. It's right by us. We can see all the houses. And this guy is literally bulldozing paths so that fire can't come over them, right? And so we watched that. And then later the fire, that last fire that I told you about that came up the hill, you know, we were watching to see if it was going to cross the road. It didn't cross the road. Hallelujah, thank God. But it did run up the hill, and it was aiming right for this house. And just to stop, the story ends poorly, but the bulldozer guy, the hero, is literally trying to trench around that. It's not called a trench. It's like a fire line or something like that with his big bulldozer. He is in the flames. He's literally in them. And he's trenching to try to save what would be his neighbor's house. Okay? Not his house. And then later he went up and he did a bunch more and he saved another house, right? He did actually save that house. Unfortunately, this one, the fire overtook it, right? It's the only one on the prairie that we could see that it literally burned to the ground. It was burning in the middle of the night when we were awake. So anyhow, the encouragement I want to offer you is that this guy, some random guy, was helping his neighbor, because community is actually something that we can still see God in. We can still see God in our community when you see some random guy, whether he knows God or not, I don't know, helping his fellow man. And so that's where our role could play. We could play that same role. Like when we see people out there that are hurting, just love people. I mean, we can't go take our bulldozer out, you know, but we can love people and we can be concerned about them and we can help them financially if we can. We can help them in other ways. So I think it's very important that we look to God for the good things, not for the bad things. The Christian mind relies on God. The Christian mind knows that God loves us. The Christian mind knows that God is good. And so we have to accept those things, and we try to be a help to our community and to remember how very much God loves us. How very much, in spite of all this, in spite of the pain that I'm not experiencing, quite honestly. My house didn't burn down, but there are people out there. Anyhow, Barry, I think that's all I need to say.
I'm going to ask you to say just a prayer as you feel prompted. And during this time, if Nick and Colleen, if you would think if you could maybe share something, I don't know why you came to my mind, you can refuse. If at the end of the prayer, you don't have something you want to share, you can shake your head at me and I'll be like, that's fine. But if you'd be willing to share some word of comfort, that would be, or encouragement, that would be great. But if you would just say, pray as you feel led and pray along, like this is our time to pray for our city.
I thought I was off the hook there for a moment. But I shouldn't be. Shouldn't I be like wanting to pray? All right. Father, we just come to you in humility, Lord, looking up to a great God, a God that looks down on us with care and concern and love, and a God that literally sent his son, that loved us while we were dark and ugly sinners, that cares for us when we were lost and rebellious, that still cares for us when we're still rebellious, when we still sin. We look to you, our Lord. We look to you. We bow our knees before you, Father. We bow our hearts before you. We thank you that above all that we experience, above all this dark time and the billowing smoke and the fire and the pain, Father, we look to you because we know that this moment in our life is a blink, that our eternity is with you, that our lives won't end, but they'll go on forever. And they'll go on forever with you in a kingdom and a world and an earth where, Father, we won't have all the pain and suffering that we have now. Where we won't have the fears and the anxieties and the weight. Where we won't have to comfort our friends who have lost. Where we won't have to be fearful. Where the chickens live, Lord. Where everything lives. Father, we wait that day. And in the meantime, Father, we look to you for comfort. We look to you for wisdom and answers for people that are suffering. We look to you for direction at what choices we should make. Father, we look to you for strength that the areas of our life that we don't quite submit to you, we would find maybe a push in the right direction. Father, use your Holy Spirit to guide and direct us, to soften our hearts, to open our minds, to give us wisdom, to help us have an impact on those who don't know you. We love you, Lord. We lift your name. We praise you. We worship you. We glorify you. In Jesus' name, amen.
Okay, here come the Volks. Awesome. It may be that there's room for others to share. So if you're feeling like the Lord's put something on your heart, I don't know exactly where today's going. We'll see what the Lord does. So Nick and Colleen have become good friends of mine this past year. He's been a pastor for decades before moving to Spokane, and I don't know why you popped into my head, but now everyone knows that this is Nick Volk, and this is his wife, Colleen. And take it away.
Thank you, Barry. You're a good brother. Hello, family. I did not know that I was going to be up here talking today, but the Holy Spirit provides opportunities, and Barry, you've been such a great friend. So thank you very much, and I appreciate your hospitality and love for us. My wife and I, Colleen, we're taking some sabbatical here since we moved to Spokane, and it's been a blessing being part of your family. We've had the opportunity to sit back and just relax and enjoy ourselves and be blessed by all of you, and it's been great. You know, as Barry said, would you come up and share something? I thought, well, what would be a theme to share? And so as I thought about a theme to share, the thing that resonated the most with me was the theme of disruption creates gospel opportunity. That was the theme that kept coming to my mind. I mean, we knew yesterday that something may happen because we were warned, right? The winds were coming. They were going to get severe. There's been some fires leading up to this point. We knew that high winds were going to create problems, but we didn't know exactly what the outcomes were going to be, right? But we knew that something was coming. And so we had all braced ourselves a little bit for whatever that something was, but we didn't know what the extent of the impact was going to be for us. So you get ready, and then that something comes, and then that disruption comes from that something. And how do you handle it? But for us, that disruption came in the form of families that got displaced from the whole 9 mile area over in 5 mile. They got displaced. They didn't know if their houses had burned down or not. They had no idea. These are families that happened to come to Spokane over the course of time that we had known for a long time. They knew we lived here. So they're like, can we come stay with you? We just got displaced. We don't have a place to go to. And so they brought their children, their babies, their dogs, the whole works came over. And we're like, well, as long as it takes. So move on in and welcome. And we had to figure out exactly what that looks like. And then the power went out. And the smoke and the fire was all really close. But it was going the other direction, so they didn't evacuate us. And as we were going through the day, all the events that happened created opportunities just to sit in the midst of the gospel and just spend time together with each other, sharing what was on our hearts, what was going on. And people were processing in different ways. Some people were processing very quietly, just sitting there worrying. Some people were processing with a glass of wine, trying to take the edge off. The dogs and the children, ironically, were running around with great joy. It was crazy. Right there is a wall of fire and smoke just roiling into the sky, broiling, like as bad as you can imagine. And all the babies and the dogs are running around and around and around and around and around the house. And we just sat there and looked out our back window, which faces the valley. And crazy enough, the sky was blue and the air was clear. And then we looked north on the other side, and it was as dark and hellish as you can possibly imagine. And we were right on the edge. And I thought to myself, this is what it looks like to be on the earth and live in the world that we live in here, yet have a hope in the world that we're called to, isn't it? This is what it looks like. And our kids and the dogs were so comfortable with the space that had been created through the power of Jesus Christ and our home that they felt the joy to run around and play, despite the fact that they were on the edge of a fire that was boiling right there. And the kids felt safe enough to play. Isn't that a great example of what Jesus does for us in our lives? I mean, we are on the edge of destruction constantly, yet Christ is in us, giving us the hope and encouragement that can only come from a divine source. And we look straight into destruction, yet we are full of hope. And so that's my story for yesterday. I thank you for listening. May the Lord bless all of you as we go through this and provide safety and a place for people that are displaced. And it won't be, today is not the end. I'm sure we're going to get more phone calls from people. You're all going to get more phone calls from people, and they're going to be like, help me. What do I do? I need something. I need help. I need encouragement. I need your time. I need your talent. I need your treasure to help me. It's not going to stop. So may this congregation be full of God's grace as we help those that are in need going forward, and be an example of what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ in Spokane. May this city example what it looks like for Christ to be on the move. Amen.
Thank you, Nick. I appreciate that. Anyone else want to share? TJ, come on up. TJ and Kyung Ah Hayes and their children moved up here from California not too long ago. They've been for years on staff with Navigators and trying to figure out what the Lord has for them next. So, TJ.
Yeah, hi. So I didn't plan at all to stand up here this morning, but just during that last sharing time, I just, thank you, by the way, that was helpful, just to think of that, how the Lord creates peace in the midst of this impending or real or coming on kind of disaster. But that just reminded me of something I experienced a few months ago. For the last maybe 6 months or so, I've basically been through kind of like a depression, and I think it was going back farther than that, but it really hit me like late in the fall, and so I actually resigned from my ministry role with the Navigators and took a personal sabbatical and did tons of prayer time, and I went to this prayer counseling kind of retreat in in Colorado back in February. And so, but the Lord's been meeting me at different moments. And it was interesting. One of them was, I wanted to share this, that it's a personal story. And it's pretty personal, but I think it also connects with probably where some of us are at that relates to the fires and everything. Let's see, I think this was probably back in the late fall. I had, you know, being a 50-year-old man, you got to get your blood checked and everything. So I've been, you know, getting my blood checks and all this. And so I battled off and on with like higher cholesterol, and I never want to go on statins. I'm always trying to do the healthy thing and eat healthy and exercise and all this stuff. Well, anyway, so at one point, the doctor's finally like, look, you got to get on it, you know, and I even got the prescription. And anyway, but I was like, no, I'm gonna like go crazy on like vegetables and exercise or whatever. And so I worked really hard for a couple months on like a ridiculous diet. I told the kids I'm eating like dirt and bark and stuff like that. And, you know, if it wasn't like brown and dry, I wouldn't eat it, you know, kind of thing. And I did that for a few months. And then I got my blood checked again, and it was worse. And it wasn't even like, aha, that's funny. But I was like, I honestly was like really mad because I felt like I can't even control my body. It's like you're driving a car and you can't even control the car. It was like, I can't even control myself. Like I'm like literally eating like dirt and bark, you know what I mean? Almost. And like, what can I do? And I'm exercising like crazy. And like, everyone says this is supposed to do it, and it didn't do it. And I think just like, you know, at the sort of back end of, oh, your cholesterol is high. I mean, way back looming in the distance is you're going to have a heart attack and die, buddy. I mean, there's that like that reality, right? It's not just like, oh, these cholesterol numbers, like they're important because of like heart attack risk and stroke risk. So anyway, all of this hit me, and it was in the middle of, I was still like in this sort of like depression time from just burnout, and I was just really down. And so I met with a spiritual director, a friend of mine, and he just kind of guides me in like thinking through things and praying through things. And so he invited me to like just be in the Lord's presence and just like invite Jesus to come and like minister to me in the midst of this, you know, reality of like this, like you can't control. And it just reminded me of what Jesus said, you know, you can't even make one hair of your head white or black. Like you can just like this, and you're not going to just change your hair color just from like your willpower. And I think Jesus was saying that we don't have the ultimate control even over our own physical body or our own life. And so let alone like think of all this fire stuff, we don't have the control over it. But so he led me in this prayer time. And so as I was praying, the picture came to mind of Jesus and the disciples on the boat in the storm. And in my dream, in this sort of like vision prayer time, I'm thinking like the storm is basically like my cholesterol is out of control and it's bad and I can't control it. And there's this storm and I can't do anything. And then what's Jesus doing? Well, he's sleeping, right? And as I'm praying, like I just kind of like picture, I'm just looking at Jesus and seeing that like he's peaceful and he's in the storm. The water is like literally falling on him. The disciples are probably screaming and yelling and bailing out the boat and everything. But he's just like sleeping, nice and steady, slow breathing. And so as I was like in this prayer time, Blake asked me like, you know, do you want to say anything to Jesus or do you want to do anything? And I was like, I just want to go lay down next to Jesus. So I just go over and I lay down next to Jesus and I just like listen to him breathing. And what I realized is that, you know, so back in my normal real life, whatever, not in this like prayer vision, like I've seen that story before. And I notice how in some of the versions, they call Jesus rabbi, like teacher. And so it's just interesting to call him a teacher while he's like sleeping and they're in this crisis. But I think it was probably just a default because they always called him teacher, right? But to think like he actually was teaching them what to do. Like, because he's like, my father's in control. We're going to be fine. I'm going to take a nap. And he's sleeping. So he's literally showing them what to do in a storm. And so anyway, so in this prayer vision, like I just felt like the storm is just still raging. He hasn't calmed it yet, but I'm just going to go down and snuggle next to Jesus. And I just like laid down next to him. And Blake asked me like, does Jesus do anything? And I said, I don't think he doesn't turn to me or anything, but he just like, he knows I'm here. I could tell he knows I'm here. And he's like welcoming me to sleep next to him. So I'm just sleeping next to Jesus in the boat, getting all wet. And like, as I'm praying this, like I'm actually physically feeling like more calm, in the midst of this situation, which just an hour before I was like really stressed and angry and frustrated about my health situation. So I'm praying, and he says, so Blake said, well, what did the other disciples do? And I said, hey, they're starting to come over and lay down with us, and we're all just like laying down in the back of this boat, and while the storm is still going on and the boat's still filling up with water, but we're all just going to go to sleep with Jesus and just sleep with him. And so that time, it was amazing. So I had that encounter, and this was all in the course of like 20 minutes in this like prayer time in the midst of a conversation. And then once we got done, like, my cholesterol numbers hadn't changed, my health hadn't changed, situation hadn't changed, but I just felt like so peaceful. And like, I think it was probably like the most peaceful that I had felt maybe in my whole life or something. It was like profoundly peaceful. And I just felt like, you know what, like this, because at the looming end of cholesterol is death, right? So like cholesterol leads to heart attacks and stroke, which leads to death. And it's the reminder of your mortality and reminder of you're in a frail body. And I just thought, like, I'm not even afraid. Like, because what's the fear of cholesterol numbers? It's all these events that happen that lead to debilitation or lead to death. And like, that's the thing that's the fear. And I was like, I'm not even afraid. So if like, and if having a heart attack leads to this kind of peace with the Lord, then like, bring it on, I'm fine. Like, and I was just like so peaceful. And then what was cool was that after this was done, I think that day or the next day, I had to go to back to my normal boring life, going to Winco, looking for tofu and vegetables, right? And dirt and bark. And so I'm going back there. And then there was a lady there who had some kind of like health problems. And so she just started like telling me all this stuff. And I was like trying to encourage her, and total stranger. I never saw her before or since. And, but I just felt like the Lord had like put on me like a sense of peace that she noticed, that she started telling me all her health problems just in the tofu aisle. And like, people don't usually do that, you know. It's usually ever by the soup cans, but they, you know, people don't tell me all their stuff. But like, because I'm just like more introvert, and you know, I'm like, hey, how's it going, you know, and that's about it. But anyway, so I just, it was just really encouraging. But I don't know, I just want to share that story of connecting with Jesus right in the middle of the fear and the storm still going on. And so, like, I know right now, like, all the fires and everything, it's like an already happened and it's still happening, you know, trauma that's happening in a lot of people's lives. But like, I just think the Lord wants us to like connect with him personally and experience his peace in the midst of like whatever we're going through. So just want to share that.
Thank you so much. Well, maybe we should keep going. Is there someone else who feels that the Lord would have them to say something, share something? Caleb.
Just a quick story. Back 10, 15 years ago, there was a big ice storm out in Deer Park and lots of people lost power. And we look back on that 4 or 5 day experience as a real moment where we felt like part of the church and like part of the community and like we were part of what Jesus wanted us to be doing right then, simply because our home didn't lose power and people came and hung out where it was warm and where they could do laundry. So I would just encourage you, if your home is not threatened, if you still have power and the ability to host people, start sending out messages, start just being open to see who might show up and hang out around your kitchen table while things need to happen back at their place. So, yeah, that's all I've got to share.
So all these themes are just coming together as people are sharing that. So God is good. He's not targeting certain houses, but he is miraculously saving. We heard that the disruption can be the chance for us to, it's a gospel opportunity. Sometimes we take action. We're also hearing sometimes God doesn't change the circumstances, but he uses he changes us in the midst of the circumstances. And sometimes calmness and inaction is actually a way to respond to God. And all of these are true. In different ways. I feel like we're getting all sorts of mini sermons today. This is great.